Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the 12th Hour. In Liberty Hill, Texas, today is July 18, 2014, or rather the 22nd day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Sweet By and By. There's a one that is fair and day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing that's read. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To a bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
13 symbolic code, number 11 and 12. We're going to continue on our series on the Sabbath explained. This is part 6. We're on page 21. First, we're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from 1 Kings chapter 9. It says, "And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of Yahweh, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that Yahweh appeared unto Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And Yahweh said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Okay, let's continue now, verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 9. "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in the integrity of the heart, and in the uprightness, to do according unto all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if thou shalt at all turn from following me, ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, every one that passes by, it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath Yahweh done thus unto this land and unto this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Yahweh the Elohim, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath Yahweh brought upon them all this evil. And it came to pass at the end of the 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of Yahweh and the king's house, now Hiram, the king of the tower, had furnished Solomon with the cedar trees and fir trees, and with the gold, according unto all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which the Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. And he said, What cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul unto this day. And Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. And this is the reason of the levy which the king Solomon raised for to build the house of Yahweh and his own house and Milo and the wall of Jerusalem and Hazar and Megiddo and Gezer. For the Pharaoh king of Egypt had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with the fire, and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city, and given it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon, the Nether, and Baalath, and Tadmor in the wilderness in the land. Now all the cities of the store that Solomon had, and cities for his chariots, and cities for his horsemen, and that which Solomon desired to build in the Jerusalem, and in Lebanon, and all the land of his dominion, and all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel. The children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able utterly to destroy. Upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of the bond service unto this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen, but they were men of the war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and the rulers of his chariots, and his horsemen. These were the chief of the officers that were over the Solomon's work, 550, which bare rule over the people that wrought in the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house which the Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo, and 3 times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Yahweh, and he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Yahweh. So he finished the house. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in the Ezion-Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy his service shipmen that had knowledge of the sea with the service of the Solomon. Now we'll continue with our study explanation of the Sabbath. We're on part 6. We're on page 21 of the 13 symbolic code, number 11 and 12. It says, For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Isaiah 66:22-23. The prophets, the Old Testament, including Yahshua, the New Testament, positively magnify and perpetuate the Ten Commandment law, rather than do away with it. The Sabbath is to be kept, they declare, even in the new earth. The whole law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Romans 7:12. David is in rapt inspiration too, declares, Thy law is the truth, all thy commandments are the truth. Psalms 119:142 and 151. And Paul concludes, We know that the law is spiritual, Romans 7:14, hence James, all comprehensive conclusion, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in the one point, he is guilty of all. Thou believest that there is one Elohim, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, James 2:10-19. The unrepentant lawbreaker, be they devils or humans, are lost forever. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without indulgence, sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelation 22:14-15. And Yahweh was asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yahshua said unto him, Thou shalt love the Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Matthew 22:36-40. Let us note carefully that the commandments were written by the Elohim himself on two tables of the stone. The first one contained the first four commandments, those which demand love to Elohim, and the second table contained the last six commandments, those which demand love to our fellow man. These two tablets, or tables, with their 10 precepts, 4 on the one and 6 on the other, Yahweh summarizes them in the two commandments and declares that they are the great commandments. All of the 10 commandments, therefore, are great. There is no distinction between one and the other. So it is that on these commandments hang the law and the prophets. The whole Bible, that if these commandments fail, then the whole Bible fails, that since the Bible cannot fail, neither can the commandments fail, but he who does not repent for having broken them and does not stop breaking them will certainly fail, or will certainly fall, or to the bottom of the pit. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For the Elohim shall bring every work into the judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. This is what the Bible teaches concerning the Ten Commandments, a law of which the Sabbath is a part, and this is what a Christian must believe, do, and teach if he expects to have a place in the kingdom of the Elohim. And now, as the truth on the law, particularly on the Sabbath, is ablaze like the burning bush on the Horeb, and as its penetrating light exposes the subtle heresy that is trying everyone's faith unto the limit, the voice of the inspiration admonishingly and challengingly asks, How long halt ye between two opinions? So Yahweh be Elohim, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. How did Sunday, the first day of the week, instead of Saturday, the seventh day, come to be observed as the Sabbath? For your answer, read history, article Sunday. For the fact that every prominent heresy ever taught came through men who were held in the high esteem and respected ministers of the Elohim, should in itself be the greatest of eye-openers. Tragic truth that it is, it solemnly adjures us never to lose out of the reckoning of the grim reality that no mortal on the earth can afford to base his faith on another's conviction or reputation, but solely upon his own personal and unbiased examination of the purported truth. Such a one will ever trust for the guidance only the Spirit of the Elohim, who searches all things, yea, the deep things of the Elohim, 1 Corinthians 2:10. He is the only one who leads every Elohim trusting individual into all truth, John 14:26, 16:13. There is no other safe course, and none other that gives that peace which passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Why are ministers led to devise heresies? Because the enemy of the soul knows that the laity, with but few exceptions, depend on the ministers and accept their opinions of the freshly revealed truth, instead of trusting implicitly in the Spirit of Elohim to guide them into all truth through a personal examination of the purported revelation. Moreover, never since the dawn of the sacred history has truth found itself born in the halls of learning or in the minds of the so-called great and wise, but only when and where holy men of Elohim spake as they were moved by the Yahweh Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21. And what is more, what few so-called great ever have come to study unpopular truth have been among the very last to embrace it, although among the very first to fight against it and to keep their flocks from hence, hence to remember and to guard vigilantly against this dominant deadly peril is a prime requisite to follow unto the following Yahshua and to receiving of the so great salvation, Hebrews 2:3, which he hath wrought for us by the sacrifice of himself, Hebrews 9:26. To satisfy the demand of the broken law, Romans 8:3, 4:2, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Galatians 3:13, and 1 Peter 2:24. For the condemnation which Yahshua, the true witness, last pronounces is against the angel, the ministry of the church of the latter sin, not against the church itself, and not against the laity. See Revelation 3:14-18. So you see, it says the condemnation which Yahshua, the true witness, last pronounces is against the angel. And so Yahshua made his last pronouncement against the Vertus W. Johnson as the last angel put in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, the Seventh Day Adventist, representing the Seventh Day Adventist Church, as a voice of inspiration for that church. And so Yahshua came in 2002 at the Passover. He pronounced condemnation against Vertus, not against the laity, because if he had of it, then I wouldn't be here today talking to you, because I was part of the laity. So now it says, moreover, since the true witness himself openly declares that they are the ones who feel in need of nothing more, we're talking about the angel alone, that they are the lukewarm, satisfied, and contented in their delusion and determined to stay poor and blind, thus to be spewed out, then what hope is there that they will ever arouse the laity to see and to accept freshly revealed truth with which to heal the latest sin malady? Well, that is to raise up antiquated Elijah, David. That's the only answer. Just antiquated Elijah. None whatever, whatsoever, no more than there was hope for the Jewish laity ever to be enlightened by the priests and rabbis. Hence the inevitability of their trying to confuse Elohim's message and debar it from reaching their flock. But the Yahshua assures, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:14. And 27-29. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. To know which day Elohim blessed, hallowed, and set aside for the mankind to keep is indeed commendable, but this knowledge alone is insufficient. To know how to keep it holy and to really keep it is of far greater importance. We should therefore not neglect to look into it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh the Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. Well, the word remember would not have been included if men were not apt to forget the Sabbath. We are, says the inspiration, to keep holy not a Sabbath, but the Sabbath. We are to keep it holy because it alone, Elohim blessed and hallowed. Now follow the examples of how to keep it holy. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Yahweh has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth, overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade it, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for the day is a Sabbath unto the Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. Yahweh said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandment and my laws? See, for that the Yahweh hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of the 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Exodus 16:22-30. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh hath commanded that you should do. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest unto the Yahweh. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Exodus 35:1-3. Here Elohim's unfailing care over his people is demonstrated in the type. If there is no food, manna, to be found tomorrow, he sends us a double portion today. And his preservation, he makes sure. Okay, so it is that by the keeping of his Sabbath holy, we cannot possibly be losing. He himself, in one way or another, makes up the deficiency. The type, therefore, proves that the search for the manna, livelihood, on the Sabbath is a wasted and fruitless sport, and that cooking and food preparation should be made on the day before the Sabbath. That needless work, such as building a fire for the sole purpose of the cooking on the Sabbath day, is prohibited. The type, moreover, shows that the penalty for the deliberate Sabbath breaking is death. The second, or eternal death, a Sabbath, though, should be made a pleasant and attractive for the children. Something special will make them love to see the Sabbath hours come in. Find out what would please them best that is within the bounds of the Sabbath keeping. Since if one is passing through a field, a garden or an orchard on the Sabbath day. While hungry, he may pick food and eat, Matthew 12:1, but not turn any of it out of the field, Deuteronomy 23:24-25. And since the sick human or animal must be washed and cared for on the Sabbath, Luke 14:5, it is understandable that if one is living in the frigid zones where and when it is cold, he can have artificial means for the keeping warm. Building fire for such cause is therefore permissible. Then too, we should remember in our Sabbath keeping program that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27. That Sabbath keeping brings pleasure, brings a blessing, not a curse, tyranny or poverty. That it brings joy over what Elohim has enabled us to accomplish during the 6 working days. For it enables us to rejoice and to look back upon our deeds and wholeheartedly and honestly be able to say, my work and deeds are faultless. They are very good. Elohim reviewed his creative work on the Sabbath day and rejoiced over it. Then too, 6 days of the honest work should bring all our work up unto the date rather than leaving part of it for another day. No true Sabbath keeper is a time killer either. Okay, I said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Yahweh honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it, Isaiah 58:13-14. Thus is the divine surety that Elohim's truth-seeking people will not be fooled. They will let Elohim be true, but every man a liar, Romans 3:4. They will let no man take the place of the spirit of Elohim who leads into all truth, for they know that only by the using of their own Elohim-given reason and personal saving experience will they find their way into the kingdom of the Elohim. In the short, they know that though Noah, Daniel, and Job be in the land, they shall deliver but their own souls. Ezekiel 14:20. If the law could be changed, man might have been saved without the sacrifice of Yahshua. But the fact that it was necessary for Yahshua to give his life for the fallen race proves that the law of the Elohim will not release the sinner from his claims upon him. For it is demonstrated that the wages of the sin is death. When Yahshua died, the destruction of Satan was made certain. But if the law was abolished at the cross, as many claim, then the agony and death of the Elohim's dear son was endured only to give to Satan just what he asked. Then prince of the evil triumphed. His charges against the divine government were sustained. The very fact that Yahshua bore the penalty of the man's transgression is a mighty argument unto all created intelligences that the law is changeless, that Elohim is righteous, merciful, and self-denying, and that infinite justice and mercy unite in the administration of his government. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 70. End of the 13th symbolic code, number 11 and 12. Timely Greetings, volume 2, number 33. The Cleansing of the Sanctuary, Where, When, and How Done. Text of address by Vicki Hollis, March 27, 1948. We're just going to go right on into it. Daniel 8:13-14. It says, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint, We spake how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay. So now the sanctuary was cleansed. It took 2,300 years for the sanctuary to come to the place in the New Testament time to be cleansed, and that took place in 1844. It says, under this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily? Okay, now the vision concerning the daily is your third hour of the day and your ninth hour of the day. That is your sacred hours of the day. Peter knew all about it when he went up to the temple at the ninth hour there in Acts chapter 3, where he healed this man. Okay, it says, to answer this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Okay. Then came the answer, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, within the 2,300 days, the daily shall be taken away, and the transgression of the desolation set up, the sanctuary, and the host shall be trodden underfoot. After this, the sanctuary is to be cleansed. Every morning denotes 24-hour days, full measure of the time. The word sacrifice does not be long in the text. Daniel 8:16-17. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Yelah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, folks, we're in the time of the end. The time of the end began at the Passover 2002. At the time that the true witness, Yeshua, came and reckoned with the angel of the candlestick, and he ushered in the new organization, the everlasting kingdom of heaven. He ushered that in the beginning of the 12th hour by the opening up of the seventh seal and starting the judgment of the living, and Ezekiel 9, investigative judgment of the marking and the sealing of the 144,000. That all started in 2002. Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, the angel of the candlestick being replaced by the angel of the 10th candlestick, Zechariah 4, and that angel of the 10th candlestick is that typical Elijah, and he's the one with the message before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he's made the angel of the 10th candlestick, which is universal, meaning that candlestick stands for the judgment of all the world, Jew and Gentile alike. Okay, so we're in that time. For the Gabriel's explanation that at the time of the end shall be the vision shows that the paramount importance of the vision is by the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it takes place not in the Daniel's time and not before the time of the end, but after the 2,300 days, in the time of the end. Now, since the 2,300 days began somewhere in the 5th century before Yahshua, as seen in the following verses, and since the vision was to be for many days, and for the time of the end, then obviously the 2,300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in the Ezekiel 4:6. For the 2,300 days, therefore, are actually 2,300 years, in the end of which the sanctuary is cleansed. What signs are to mark the time of the end? Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So now what book is this? This is the book of Daniel. Okay, that we're reading from right now. For the angel explained that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the fact that men are now running to and fro and that knowledge has been increased in itself proves that we are now living in the time of the end. That the vision is now to be understood and that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. Daniel 8:18-21. Now as he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright, and he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. For the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of the Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision begins. It begins with the Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in time through the victories of the Alexander the Great, Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are called unto the full, a king of a fierce countenance and an understanding dark sentences shall stand up. In the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressors, the Jews, are come unto the full, another king or kingdom was to stand up. For it was of course none other than the Rome, the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. Daniel 8:26-27, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's bidding, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation which the Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as the time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, although the set time for the liberation had come, he graphically said, Daniel 9:1-3, 22 and 23, in the first year of the Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahweh Elohim, the seat by the prayer and supplication, with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to show thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, Daniel 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision, then said to Gabriel, in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Since Gabriel is here explaining the vision of chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days, the 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300 days. Let us now study the subject with the aid of this chart. Okay, we have a 2300 days chart, but you can't see it, but we can explain it maybe.
temple.
For the 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Jews, were to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else to be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. From the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, unto Yeshua, to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, that says unto Yeshua, there were to be 7 weeks, 49 years and 62 weeks, 434 years, 69 weeks in all, or 483 years. History shows that the decree to rebuild the ancient city went forth in 457 B.C. Hence, 483 years from 457 B.C. brings us to 27 A.D., to the year Yahshua the Messiah was baptized. This incident, too, proves that the 2300 days are computed as a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks are the first block of the time from within the 2300 days. Look at the chart. We should now remember that after cutting off the 69 weeks from the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week is told in the verses that follow, Daniel 9:26-27. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, the consummation was determined in 2002. Okay, 2003, that was in the midst of the antitypical 1 week, that 70th week. Okay. Just what was to take place during the first 7 weeks, or 49 years? I am not prepared to say, but in the end of the next 62 weeks, or 434 years, the Messiah was to be cut off, crucified. Okay, during the remaining week, the 70th, he was to confirm the covenant with many, and in the midst of it, he was to be cut off, crucified, that is, there were to be 3.5 years to be cut off, crucified, that is, there were to be 3.5 years from the baptism unto the crucifixion, and 3.5 years after the crucifixion, in which he was to confirm the covenant. Okay, it says, for this complete of the 70 weeks, and brings us unto the time that the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. One named Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, and an apostle, were both given a vision. Cornelius was instructed to see Peter, and Peter was instructed to meet Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10. The Jews as a nation failed to make an end of the sin, and were therefore rejected, given up. Now, Shira's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3.5 years replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system, and thus he called the sacrifice to cease in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with this added explanation, Daniel still was not able to comprehend all that was in the vision. But as the time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, he prayed for the light. His prayer is recorded in the first part of the chapter 10, after which the angel appeared and again explained, Daniel 10:21, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." Daniel was then promised all the light that could be given, not only on the vision of the Daniel 8, but on all that is noted in the scripture, the truth. In the connection with the vision, that which the angel showed him is recorded in the Daniel 11 and 12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of the Daniel 8, with the kings of the Medes and Persians and Grecia, as symbolized by the ram and he goat in chapter 8. Then was Daniel told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all, for the vision was sealed unto the time of the end, chapters 12, verses 8 and 9. Okay, by this long prophetic history and geography seen in the chapter 11 and 12, the angel brings us up unto the time of the end, unto the time of the cleansing is to take place, and here is the nature of the cleansing, according unto the angel's word, Daniel 12:1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." By the delivering of the righteous, he thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. He puts the good fish in the vessel and cast out the bad, Matthew 13:48. "He shall cleanse his people from the sin and sinners." Well, we had a judgment begin in 2002 in the house of Israel. We had a separation of two classes of people, sheep and goats. So apparently, that being related to this prophecy here, has to be Michael standing up. So in this case, Michael has already stood up. All right, let's continue on. Daniel 12:2-3. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever." For the wicked that arise with the righteous in this mixed resurrection are also to be separated from the righteous. For the wicked are to be put to shame and everlasting contempt, but the righteous are to be given eternal life. Now it says in Daniel 12:10, "Many shall be purified, made white, and shod, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked." Daniel 12:11-12. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh dust to sit up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh unto the 1,335 days. Here's another block of the time from within the 2,300 days, introduced beginning from the time of the daily, that the daily is abolished and the abomination set up. For the daily represents something which should not have been abolished, and the abominations represent something that should not have been set up, for the word of sacrifice is supplied and does not belong in the text. For the light on these, read as tract number 3, the harvest. It should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing, does not begin until after the 1,335 days of years expire. And now, since the 2,300-year period begins in 457 B.C., with the commandment to restore and to rebuild the city Jerusalem, the 2,300 days consequently end in 1844. The time the 1,335 days end, then the days of the blessings begin. It should now be remembered that this cleansing of the sanctuary includes the cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing among the living, the Yahweh says, Ezekiel 36:24-29. For I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. None of the living can actually be cleansed from all of their marks of sin while among the Gentile nations, you see. They must first be separated from the hypocrites and Gentiles, and then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water, cleansed from all their filthiness and from all their idols, when they get into their own land, not before. Even a new heart is to be given them there, and a new spirit also. Thus will Yahweh cause them to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments forevermore. Thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their fathers, Palestine, and thus shall they be Elohim's people eternally. These things, you see, are premillennial. Let us now examine the cleansing according unto the prophets Joel, Malachi, and Jeremiah. Joel 3:21. It says, For I will cleanse your blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahweh dwelleth in Zion. Malachi 3:1-3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make for the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. for the old covenant has been to keep the commandments while they are written not on the heart but on the tables of the stone against the will of the stony heart. But the new covenant is to cleanse them from their stony hearts and to write the commandments on their hearts and flesh. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know thee, Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When the Elohim's people are thus cleansed, they shall all know the Yahweh. Then they shall indeed be his people, his nation. Okay, and Elohim's guarantee is this. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves are of roar. The Yahshua of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Does Elohim do this because his people have been good, or because he wants to vindicate his name? Let us see. It says, Ezekiel 36:20-24. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, These are the people of the Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith the Yahweh Elohim, and I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of the old country and will bring you into your own land. So it says plainly, the word declares that the sanctuary is to be cleansed, that the land also is to be reclaimed and the kingdom restored, not by the reason of the people's goodness, but for the Elohim's namesake, for his own goodness sake. The heathen too will know that the Elohim has done what the Elohim has done for his people, for the scriptures show that all this shall take place right before their eyes. The same cleansing Yahshua describes us, Matthew 25:32-34. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you the foundation of the world. Here is the truth that the denomination has overlooked. They think that they are to make a beeline to the throne of the Elohim for the millennium. But according unto the scriptures, here you see the people must first be separated from among the heathen, then cleansed from all their filthiness, and thus being able to stand in the presence of a pure and eternal Yahweh. Thus is the sanctuary among the living cleansed, and thus are the people to be fitted to reign with the Yahshua 1,000 years. Brothers, sisters, make certain that you be found not among the goats on his left, but with the sheep on his right, if you are to hear the king say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, Matthew 25:34. And remember that we have now been living in the time of the end for some years. Well, since in our case, since 2002, starting in general living at Kermit, Texas. Moreover, this light has now come because the cleansing of the living members of the church is at hand. End of our study. We're going to bring this study now to a close with a song that I've written entitled, You Must Be Born Again. In the twilight of the evening, a man came to Yahshua. He had something on his mind, something hard to define. upon in his heart the things he'd seen and heard, but most of all he had dared from the living Word. He said, "Master, I know you're sent from heaven above, else you couldn't do the things that you do with such love. Mankind has not witnessed such miracles seen here today. So tell me, Master, what must I do in order to be saved?" Joshua said, "You must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood to cleanse you from all sin. And walk in heaven's light from this point on, my friend, to teach the world how to sing a brand new song again." In the twilight of the evening, this world was winding down. We need help from everyone to spread the word around. The days for us then just to be the school. Work for the night is coming when man can work no more. How is it with you today, my friend? What do you say? Do you need a closer walk with him along the narrow way? Do you need a cleansing friend, resurrection from the dead? Just listen closely to me now, for here's what Yahshua said. Yahshua said, "You must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood to cleanse you from all sin. And heaven's light from this morning on, my friend, to teach the world how to sing a brand new song again."